Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier, in the Sour Sitcoms. Later on, we enjoy William Bendix as Chester A. Riley in The Life of Riley, but right now, Ed Gardner is Archie on Duffy's Tavern. This broadcast heard on the NBC network on January 5th, 1949.
Here we go, friends, to Duffy's Tavern, starring Archie himself, Ed Gardner.
Duffy's Tavern, where the elite mate eat. Archie the Manager speaking. Duffy ain't here. Oh, hello, Duffy. What's new? Nothing much. A messenger just brought a package from that weight-reducing place, you know, the one that's been trying to take that blubber off your fat wife. No, there's no message. Just a white flag. What else is new? Well, you know, Mrs. Piddleton. Well, Abigail is now worth $100,000, thanks to Italy. Her third husband fell into Vesuvius. Am I going to console her? Better than that, Duffy, I'm going to marry her. Why? I got a lot of reasons. 100,000 of them. Okay, so she ain't got legs like Betty Grable. She ain't even got legs like Harry James. Look, for $100,000, I'll be in a position to gamble that long skirts come back. Huh? What'd you say about Mrs. Piddleton? She's got a face that would what? Duffy, on behalf of my future wife, I resent that. God, dear. A face that'd stop a sundial.
Maybe it wouldn't stop it, but it'd sure slow it down.
Oh, yeah? I'll brook no more of these slurs on Mrs. Piddleton's ugly face, Miss Duffy. In a short time, I'm going to be making love to her. And I'm trying to get in the mood. And it ain't easy.
Why don't you go practice over there?
Practice? What do you mean?
Rub noses with the moose head.
Rub nose with it. That's a ridiculous comparison. Look at that moose head. Look at that long nose. Them bulging eyes. Them protruding teeth. Darling.
My, what some men won't do for $100,000.
It ain't the $100,000. It's the principle of the thing. Do the same thing for 500. Besides, it might not be too bad. At least Abigail is sophisticated. You gotta say one thing. She knows plenty about this world.
She ought to. She's been on it long enough. Archie, you ought to be ashamed.
What do you mean?
Marrying for money.
Can you think of a better reason?
How about love?
I love money.
But what about Mrs. Piddleton? You know what she thinks about taverns and saloon keepers.
Well, I covered that, Fats. When I asked her to come down tonight, I told her that Duffy's is not a tavern.
I'll go along with that.
I beg your pardon. I told her we are now a tea room.
Tea room? Ain't she gonna be a little surprised when she gets that orange pekoe with a head on it?
I'll just tell her it's the tea that made Milwaukee famous.
Some tea room. Look at that painting up on the wall.
The painting? Oh, well, she's been up there for years. You think the picture's a little too daring?
Well, it ain't Washington crossing the Delaware.
Better turn her around. We'll use it as a dart game. Now, what else can we do to tea room up the joint?
Oh, how about going down to the antique shop and picking up a spinning wheel?
Miss Duffy, there will be no gambling. Now, leave us see if there's anything else objectionable that should be removed.
Oh,
hello, Finnegan. What you been doing all day?
Oh, nothing much. Just sitting around in Cavendish's undertaking parlor.
Oh. Wasn't you taking a chance?
No, I kept moving me arms around. So, nobody brought up the question.
Oh.
Nice atmosphere over there.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah. At least there's somebody to talk to.
Who, Cavendish?
No.
Oh. If Finnegan, how come you hang around a place like that?
Why not? Look at all the fun I had there last Tuesday.
Fun at Cavendish's?
Well, yeah. It all started when I fell asleep in a back room. And I had such a delightful surprise when I woke up.
You did, huh?
Yeah. All me best friends was looking down at me.
Well, why didn't you get up?
With 8 pounds of gardenias on my chest? Believe me, Arch, it was a proud moment, me like.
Why proud?
For the first time, I was guest of honor at a party.
Finnegan, are you sure that this was a party?
Of course. The big crowd was there. Some guy was playing the organ. Everybody was formal, including me. And boy, you should have heard the compliments I received.
Yeah, what kind of compliments?
Well, as they walked by, everybody said I never looked better in my life.
Finnegan, are you quite sure that they was complimenting you?
Well, sure. Why else would they take me for that ride in the country?
You had a nice ride, huh?
Oh, yeah. Only when we got to the picnic grounds, the party started getting a little rough.
What do you mean?
Well, I didn't mind when some practical joker threw me in a hole. And then started throwing dirt in my face. But when that guy reached in to yank off me tuxedo, that was going too far.
So what did you do?
What did I do? I sat right up and I yelled out, "Stop that! I am Clifton Finnegan."
What did they do?
They started throwing dirt in my face again.
Finnegan, why don't you go over in the corner and play alive?
Oh, okay. Hey, fellas, wait for me!
Oh, no. Hey, that must be Mrs. Piddleton. Hello, Duffy's Tea Room.
Mistress Archer speaking.
Got it out. Hello, it's you, Mrs. Piddleton. Look, Abigail, my love, why ain't you here? You're about to take your beauty sleep? Look, you think we got that much time? Well, I'm just bursting to ask a certain question, Abigail.
Yes, is the $100,000 in cash or in bonds?
Miss Duffy, please. What, Abigail? What should you wear tonight? Well, how about that gray hat? You know, the one with the heavy veil. You wish I was more of a family man? Well, look, ain't it enough that there'll be you and me and the 100 G's? You got to have a family man, huh? Well, I'll tell you what, Pity. Stick on a bustle and come on down. We'll talk things over. Swell. Hey, Betts, I'm an expecting husband. How about playing the wedding march?
Your wedding march?
Yeah.
I'm in the money.
That is not a wedding march,
though. Archie, you know there ain't gonna be no wedding.
Why not?
You heard what Miss Piddleton said on the phone. She's looking for an old, substantial family type.
Well, I've always been a home-loving man.
Yeah, but who are you home-loving?
Stuffy, despite what some people infer, I can quite often be found dabbling around in the kitchen.
Only because you take your bath in the sink.
Yeah, but when I'm taking a bath, I'm still washing dishes. Anyway, what makes you such an authority on family life?
Because Papa set such a wonderful example. Every night he comes home, flings open the door, and then you know what he does?
Falls flat on his face.
I'm not speaking of holidays. He calls out to Mama, "Where is my fat angel?"
He calls her angel, huh?
Yeah.
That's probably just wishful thinking.
That's your opinion. But after all these years, Papa says Mama is the most beautiful woman in the world and that he wouldn't give up a single acre. Oh, they were certainly made for each other.
Yeah, hands just fit perfect around his throat.
Archie, they haven't had a fight in years. Oh, occasionally they may quarrel over something like Say, pipe smoking in the living room. So Mama gives in. She smokes on the back porch.
Well, I hope my bride will be more compatible. By the way, Finnegan. Has Mrs. Pendleton showed up yet?
Is she about 4 feet tall and wearing short pants?
Certainly not.
Oh, then in that case, your little nephew just come in.
Oh, well, it is me little nephew, Morton. Morton, I guess you just couldn't stay away from your old Uncle Archie. Hmm?
Uncle Archie, I find you tedious, odious, despicable, and disreputable.
Ah, kids always love me. But, Morton, how come you ain't at school?
Remember, Uncle, you did my homework for me?
Yeah.
That's why I'm not at school.
Oh, well, make yourself to home, Morton. By the way, you remember Finnegan, don't you?
Indubitably.
Huh? Well, a lot of people have a bad memory for faces. I guess we'll have to make the introductions all over again. Morton, this is Clifton Finnegan.
Delighted.
Thanks.
Glad to meet you, too.
No.
Pleased to make your acquaintance?
No.
Likewise, I'm sure...
That's the one.
You still ought to get along great together. What do you think of Mr. Finnegan, Morton?
Well, as Professor Hooten of Harvard would say, he's probably of human origin.
Oh, wait a minute, Morton. Don't go by what outsiders say.
Finnegan, that was a compliment.
Oh.
Well, Morton, how's it feel to be back in a tavern?
I can answer that by asking you a question.
What?
Did I see a snake just pull its head in that bottle? Or is it merely the airway going down for the third time?
Very clever, Morton. Too bad I ain't got a son like you. Wait a minute. Mrs. Pendleton wants a family, man.
So?
Morton, my son.
What?
Finnegan, meet me new son.
Gee, Archie looks just like Morton.
I am Morton.
Oh, well, that explains the resemblance.
Uncle Archie, you mean I'm to help foster this delusion by impersonating your offspring?
I ain't asking you to do that. I'm just asking you to call me Pop. That's all.
But what about Mrs. Pendleton?
What about her?
Won't she get wise that the kid is artificial?
Not at all. I'll be honest with her. I'll just tell her the kid is a result of a distant marriage. Well, Morton, what do you say? Would you like me for a father?
Well, in these days, I suppose you have to take what you can get.
Look, Morton, don't think of it as gaining a father. Think of it as losing an uncle.
Well, now that makes it a little more attractive.
I knew you'd say it my way, kid. Okay, Morton, you're now me new son.
What price heredity?
Mr. Archie, you ain't gonna fool Mrs. Pendleton with that father stuff. What do you know about being a father?
Well, I never raised no kids of my own, but what's the to it? When they're babies, you give them a bottle. When they're little kids, you give them a lollipop. And when they're in their teens, you give them ice cream. And when they're grown up, back to the bottle again.
Hey, the Archer Dame is just coming through the door.
Sideways?
Yeah.
That must be Mrs. Pendleton. Bats.
Yeah.
Kindly announce Mrs. Pendleton.
Okay.
Bats, don't be such a wise guy.
Archie, you dear, dear boy.
Well, welcome to our tea room, Mrs. Pendleton. Or may I call you Abigail?
Oh, please, no.
Lover?
No.
Wife?
Oh, no.
Try a mother.
But we'll save the name calling till after we're married, but I'm forgetting the jovialities here. First, Mrs. Pendleton, may I express my heartiest condolences on your late demented husband?
Well, Archie, Hiram was a fine man, and no one can say he wasn't thoughtful enough.
To die?
Certainly not. I mean, he left me quite well off. Oh, but I'm finding out that even money has its worries.
Abigail, leave me share your worries.
Archie, I think it's a little too late for us. Years ago, we should have met. Just think. We could have spent our time attending symphonies, going to the opera, enjoying chamber music, listening to lectures.
Well, maybe it's just as well. A pace like that would have burned us out by now. Excuse me. Hello? Huh? Oh. Okay. Mrs. Pendleton, we got to get married right away.
Now, who was that on the telephone?
The finance company.
Archie, are you only interested in me for my money?
Oh, perish forbid. Now, come on, leave us hold hands here in the corner booth, and I'll show you. Fats, put out the lights.
Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Hi, Abigail, you look good in this light.
Oh, dear boy, you're such a flatterer.
Leave me hold your hand. My goodness, your hand is much smoother than I expected.
Archie, you're holding my alligator bag.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tell me, Abigail, would it startle you if I was to suggest that we make a few advances?
Whatever do you mean?
Would you like to advance me a few bucks against that 100 grand?
I beg your pardon?
Not ready yet, huh? Okay, leave us do it the romantic way. Abigail, you are the loot of my... I mean, the love of my life. And now I have a little surprise for you. Close your eyes.
All right. Archie, take your hands out of that alligator bag.
Abigail, I resent your inference. Are you suggesting that I, the manager of a prosperous tea room, would stoop to filch you for a couple of crass bucks?
Well, that's another thing, Archie.
What?
This tea room.
What about it?
You don't fool me a bit.
In what respect?
Well, tea rooms have lace curtains and dainty furniture and vases on the floor with flowers.
Well, our vases used to hold flowers, too, but the tobacco juice killed them.
And another thing, tea rooms have gypsy fortune tellers who read tea leaves.
Well, we got a gypsy fortune teller, too.
Really? Where is she?
Well, she happens to be out at the moment buying some bifocals so she can read the smaller leaves.
Say, Archie.
Well, speak of the devil, if it ain't Gertie the gypsy.
What?
I am so glad you have returned, gypsy fortune teller.
Oh. I am the gypsy. And I know many things, for I walk by night.
Gertie, please, stick to the tea leaves. Never mind what you do by night. Now, go ahead, Abigail. Give her your teacup.
Very well.
Tell me, Gypsy, what do you see in the tea leaves?
A fly.
That must have been left over from the consomme. Now, continue, Gypsy. Do the tea leaves say what handsome, debonair gent will marry Mrs. Pendleton?
Well, let's see. Ooh, ya, how to, tu fang, kung wa.
What's that?
It's Chinese tea.
Well, try to translate as you go along.
Very well. I see a young man in the tea leaves.
Yes.
He is very tall.
Yes.
And very handsome.
Yes.
He has bushy eyebrows and thick glasses. Why, Rodney Haybinder, what are you doing in there?
Duffy, stop trying to louse me up, will you?
Archie, I've had enough of this. You're deceitful and greedy and just after my money. I'm leaving this place.
Now, wait a minute, Mrs. Pendleton. So the place ain't no tea room. And Miss Duffy ain't no gypsy. And I am to an extent after your dough. But it ain't for me own vile purposes. It's just that I was... Well, I was sort of thinking of the kid.
The kid?
Yeah. My little son, Morton.
Archie! You a father?
Did I let it slip?
But where is the mother?
Well, I'm sorry you brought that up. It's a pretty sad story.
Oh, what happened to her?
She was killed in the crash of 29. So you see, Morton ain't like other kids. Why, I don't say it's his fault. I guess he just inherited it from me.
What's the matter with him?
He's a genius. Studies day and night. Always under a microscope.
So you're a family man, after all.
Well, for the moment, yes. But Morton may not be with us very long.
Why not?
We can't afford the operation.
What operation?
Doctor says the kid's got to be operated on for the pickets.
The what?
The pickets. Malnutrition, you know. Got it from eating too much scurvy. And as I say, we ain't got the money for the operation.
Well, if this is the case, perhaps I ought to reconsider. By the way, who is your doctor?
Hey, doctor, let's see. What is his name again?
I am the gypsy.
Not you this time. The doctor is Dr. Slaughter. I'm expecting him any minute. Will you excuse me? Hey, Finnegan. Finnegan, could you be an M.D.?
An M.D.? Oh, sure.
Good.
What does it mean?
In your case, it means mentally deficient. Got it, Finnegan?
I got it, Arch.
Okay. Who are you?
Don't be silly. You've known me for years.
Please, try to remember. Yeah. You're Dr. Slaughter. Dr. Clifton Slaughter. Ph.D., LL.D., M.D.
You don't have to spell it out, Arch.
Well, I figured I'd be on the safe side. Now what do you do first?
I take out the kid's pulse.
No. You don't take his pulse out. You just take them.
Where?
In a thermometer.
Oh.
Then you look through your stethoscope to see if he has any symptoms of cardiacs in his heart, see?
Well, what if I find a couple, Arch?
Well, then you simply say this boy has Aunt Jemima pectoris. In other words, the white corpuscles is eating the red corpuscles.
Look, Art, this is an awful lot to remember. Couldn't we just break the kid's arm?
Don't louse me up again.
Well, don't worry, Art. Just depend on me. I won't let you down.
Promise?
Promise.
Man to beast?
Man to beast.
Oh, Morton.
Yes, Uncle Archie.
Uncle Archie. No, Pop.
Okay, Pop.
All right. Now, remember, you act like you're anemic, see?
Anemic?
Yeah, you can't remember a thing. I don't want you to tip your mitt. Mrs. Pittleton.
Yes,
sir? Mrs. Pittleton, I would like you to meet my son, and I hope the future heir to our fortune.
Hello, Mrs. Pittleton.
My, what a fine young man. And where were you born?
Chicago.
New York.
New York.
Chicago.
In two cities?
His mother was traveling at the time.
I see. And how old is he?
10.
12.
12.
10.
And how do you explain that?
He lost 2 years changing schools. Yep, Mrs. Pendleton, that's the story. I've been both father and mother to this little trike. Sending him through school. Massaging his little brain before examinations. Washing his little pantaloons by candlelight.
Morton, you should be very proud of your father.
I am of my father, but that jerk.
Mrs. Bellin, you see, no memory. Suspicious anemia, eh? I think we better have the doctor look at him right away. Calling Dr. Slaughter. Calling Dr. Slaughter.
Calling Dr. Slaughter.
Finnegan, that's you.
Oh, sorry. I am Dr. Slaughter.
Well, glad to see you again, Doc. You just got here in the nick of time.
Yeah, she looks terrible.
Finnegan, the patient is Morton over there.
Well, in that case, let me take out my thermometer.
Just a minute, Doc. That is a stethoscope.
No wonder it won't fit in his mouth.
Look, Doc, what do you want the kid to do? You want him to stick out his tongue?
Why, is he mad at me?
Archie, what's the matter with this doctor?
Well, he's a little dizzy. He spent the last 6 months testing cigarettes. Tell me, Doctor, what is your professional opinion of this case?
Well, sir, I just checked the boy's pulse against my pulse.
Yes?
One of us is dead.
Doctor, you mean...
Yes, sir. An immediate operation under Rita.
But I ain't got no money for Rita. And if a certain lady does not say I do before I count three, well, afraid we'll just have to hit the kid over the head with the bone starter.
Now, look, this has gone far enough, Uncle Archie.
Ooh. Uncle Archie?
Huh?
What? Why, you give me that bone starter.
Now, wait a minute, please, Mrs. Pendleton. Ouch! Ouch, me head!
Good night!
Oh, Morton. Morton, you dirty little crumb. On account of you, I've lost $100,000.
Uncle Archie, don't think of it as losing $100,000.
Why?
Think of it as gaining a son.
Drop dead!
Duffy's Tavern, on Tuned to Yesterday from January 5th, 1949 on NBC, that Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast co-starred Isabel Randolph, who played the character of Mrs. Piddleton. She was actually a regular on the Fibber McGee and Molly radio show as Mrs. Uppington, her last broadcast being in June of 1943. And following guest spots on shows like Duffy's Tavern, The Great Gildersleeve, even The Whistler, she made a transition to television in 1957, playing bit parts on the Red Skelton Hour, and wrapped up her career in entertainment in the 1960s, playing bit roles on the Perry Mason television show. You're listening to an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now it's The Life of Riley with William Bendix as star in an NBC broadcast from September 6th, 1947.
The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. Well, summer is practically over. This year, more families went off on vacations than ever before. Millions of people lived the life of Riley, except Chester A. Riley. It all started on a hot summer day last July. The Rileys were gathered around the kitchen table, eagerly studying vacation folders.
Hey, look, Pop, here's a place to go.
Where, Junior?
The Lazy Q Dude Ranch. It's in Wyoming.
No Dude Ranch.
Riley, how about Big Beaver Lake?
No, Dumplin', that's too near. Let's travel.
I know what, Daddy. Let's visit the Thousand Islands.
Thousand Islands, Babs, talk sense. I've only got 10 days. That's 100 islands a day.
Riley, the Thousand Islands...
Here's the spot we ought to go to. Lake Louise.
Oh, that's in Canada.
Now, let's be sensible. A trip like that would cost $1,000.
So what? We only live once.
All we've got in the bank is $89.
Let's just pitch a tent in the backyard.
Of course, we could stay home and go on picnics.
Oh, Mom. Well, I don't know, kids. All these places are so expensive. Hey, what are we racking my brains for? Why don't we go to the same place as last year? To the farm.
The farm?
Yes.
Oh, no, Daddy.
Oh, nothing doing,
well,
Pa.
What's wrong? It's a great setup. Hank Stefanotti will be getting his 2-week vacation, same as usual. He'll let us use his little cottage on the farm.
Riley, I will not spend my vacation on a prison farm.
But we won't be living in a cell like the others. He's a prison guard. He's got a nice cottage.
Oh, have a heart, Daddy. Who wants to spend a vacation on a prison farm?
Last summer, every time I climbed a fence, some guy took a shot at me.
Well, this year, don't wear your striped shirt.
Riley, we're not going to any prison farm.
But it's only for 10 days. After that, we get parole. I mean, we leave.
I'd rather stay home this summer.
Oh, we never get to go anywhere decent like other families.
Oh, now stop complaining, Junior. Remember, your father's not a rich man.
Oh, that's right. Throw it up to me that I ain't rich.
Why, Riley, I didn't mean
it. Oh, face it. I'm a flop, that's all. A failure, a bum.
But you're not a flop. You're not a failure.
Oh, but I am a bum, huh?
Now, I didn't say that.
All my life I worked hard, and what did I get? Older.
Well, it's not your fault, dear. You just didn't get the break.
No, breaks have got nothing to do with it. It's education that counts. If I'd only gotten some kind of diploma. Now it's too late.
No, it isn't, Daddy. You could take a night course at college and get a better job.
You really think I could?
Why, sure, Pop.
Why, of course, dear.
Oh, but I read somewhere when you get to be my age, you can't absorb up education like when you were young. The brain dries up.
Oh, why, that's nonsense.
Well, look at Einstein, Pop. His brain didn't dry up.
That's right. Sure. What am I worrying about? I bet my brain's got just as much water in it as it did 20 years ago. Maybe more. I'm signing up for a diploma tomorrow. Well, what's a good college at night?
Well, UCLA. Yes, that's a fine school. Your boss, Mr. Stevenson, graduated from UCLA.
Okay, that's for me. I bet Stevenson will give me a big job the minute I graduate.
Oh, I just know he will.
You could take up mechanical engineering, Pop.
Sure, that's it. And when I get my diploma... Wait. Oh.
Well, what's the matter?
Money.
Well, we've got $89 to start with.
Yeah, but will that be enough? These schools must be pretty expensive, and it's tough enough meeting our bills as it is.
Well, I can get a job this summer.
Well, so can I. We'll pay your tuition, Pop.
Oh, Peg, what wonderful kids we've got.
I know, dear.
I bet if you look through the whole country, you won't find two other kids who are putting their father through school. Pardon me, mister.
Looking for something, Mac?
Yeah, do you know which building you register for the UCLA night courses?
Oh, you're going to take a course here?
Yeah, engineering.
You must have a lot of money to throw around, Mac.
Well, no, not too much. Is it very expensive?
Is it expensive, he says. Of course, it's none of my business. Go ahead. Go to UCLA. Don't let me stop you. Go ahead.
I will. Would you mind letting go of my coat?
Oh, sorry. Now, I happen to know of a college... You heard of MIT?
Yeah, sure.
Well, this college is PIT. Pacific Institute of Technology. Happened to be a graduate myself. Civil engineering. Same course they're given at UCLA. Takes 2 years. I done it at PIT in 3 months.
Only 3 months? How can they graduate you that fast?
Can you keep a secret?
Yes.
Uranium.
And you get a real diploma after only 3 months?
Yes, sir. A genuine sheepskin. By a coincidence, I happen to have my diploma on me. Here, feel it.
Yeah. That's a genuine sheepskin, all right. The wool's still on it. Only 3 months? It don't sound possible. I guess a school like that must be pretty expensive.
Not if you're bright. And I can see you're bright.
Yeah, that's obvious. But what's that got to do with it?
Dean Baxter's a friend of mine. I'm getting you a free scholarship.
A free scholarship?
Now leave everything to your pal, Benny.
Hello, Dean Baxter speaking. Oh, yes, young Dr. Pettengill. Mr. Pettengill, I have thrilling news for you, my boy. You have successfully passed the entrance examination. Welcome to PIT. Report tomorrow with the $100 tuition fee. Now, don't thank me. To share my knowledge with others is all I ask. Godspeed, my boy. Hey, Mabel, we hooked another sucker.
Oh, attaboy, Doc. That $100 will come in handy. We owe the bookmaker for the last race yesterday.
This will cover it.
Say, Doc, when are we going to blow out of here? Supposing the cops get onto us, huh?
Relax. Will you, honey? A few more chumps. We'll have a nice little bankroll, and then we blow to Hialeah.
Talking of chumps, look out the window. Benny hooked another one.
Yeah. From the look on his kisser, this one's the prize chump of all. Okay, Mabel, roll up your stockings and hide that racing form. Remember, you're Dean of Women.
I gotcha, kid.
Take a letter, Miss Latour.
Come on in, Riley. Good evening, Dr. Baxter.
To Professor Albert Einstein. Dear Al, regarding the geometric problem you asked me to solve for you, I... Benjamin, come in.
If you're busy, doctor...
Not at all, my boy, not at all. I was just dashing off a note to an old student of mine, Professor Einstein.
Doctor, this here is a pal of mine, Chester Riley.
Delighted to meet you, son.
Delighted to meet you, father. doctor...
Mr. Riley would like to apply for a free scholarship.
Now, wait. First, I want to be sure that this school is okay.
Sorry, we're all filled up.
Filled up? Well, you couldn't find room for just one more?
It's out of the question.
It looks like I'll have to go to UCLA.
You do that. After all, UCLA is a pretty good school, too. You just run along now and register there.
I will. Would you mind getting off my foot?
Wait a moment.
Yes, doctor.
It's barely possible.
Yeah, doctor.
I'll do it. As a personal favor to Benjamin, I'll make room for you.
Oh, thank you, doctor. Thank you. I just got to get educated. When do I start?
Immediately. Provided, of course, you can pass our entrance examination.
Oh, an exam?
It's difficult. We have a high standard here. Shall we proceed?
Oh, gee, I hope I can pass.
We'll start on your mathematical reflex ratio. Name a figure.
A figure?
Any figure. Like, how much money have you got in the bank?
$89.
You passed. Welcome to PIT.
Chester Riley, you promised to register at UCLA.
I know, but...
Daddy, if you're not going to UCLA, where are you going?
Give me a chance, I'm trying to tell you. You've heard of MIT? MIT? Well, this is PIT. Pitt.
Ted?
Yeah, the Pacific Institute of Technology.
I never heard of it.
Oh, but Riley, it was all settled. We decided UCLA. Your boss, Mr. Stevenson, said go to UCLA. Now, why go to a place nobody ever heard of?
Well, for one thing, it's free.
Free?
They gave me a scholarship.
A scholarship? You? They gave you a scholarship?
You, Pop?
Now, wait a minute. What's the matter with me getting a scholarship? I ain't a dope, am I? I got brains, ain't I? Look, if they want to give scholarships, it's their business.
Well, as long as it isn't costing you anything, you got nothing to lose.
Well, there are a few tiny expenses.
What tiny expenses?
Well, there's a registration fee, $10, and lab fees, $15, books, $25, and then there's my fraternity pin.
Daddy, you joined a fraternity?
Oh, sure. All the engineering students join it. It's the Nuts and Bolts Club. I'm only a bolt now, but someday I hope to become a nut.
Well, don't worry. You'll make it. Riley, how much do your expenses come to?
Exactly $89.
But you said it was free. It would have been cheaper to go to UCLA.
Why waste 2 years when I can get the same course, the same diploma at PIT in 3 months?
3 months? Daddy, that's impossible.
Pop, it can't be done.
It can be done. My head's made up.
Riley, how on earth can they make you a graduate engineer in 3 months?
Can you keep a secret?
Yes?
Uranium.
Uranium?
Now, don't worry, Peg. This is my big chance to get an education and get somewhere in the world. Have a little faith in me.
Well... All right.
Why, the whole thing is like a miracle. Yesterday, I decided to get an education by hook or by crook. And today, I'm getting it.
For the past 2 months, Riley's been taking a night course in engineering at a fake school. Firmly convinced he will graduate and receive a genuine diploma, we now find him cramming for the final exams.
If force A is applied to force B, which has a magnitude equal to the vector CB, then the tension resulting in the dynamic field is...
Hand over that paper, Babs. I was reading it.
Well, I'll be through in a minute.
Well, I had it first.
I had it first.
Children, children, can't you be quiet? Your father's doing his homework.
If force A is applied to force B,
see,
which has
Pop
a magnitude...
Does Pop have to do his homework in the living room? I can't even listen to the radio anymore.
Oh, you and that radio. Why don't you take an interest in your father and help him with his homework?
If force A is applied to force B,
I
which
think
has...
Pop ought to quit that school.
What do you mean, quit? I'm going to graduate next Saturday.
Now, Riley, get on with your homework.
Well, it can't be much of a school. How much can you learn in 3 months?
Anyway, what business is it of yours if I'm learning anything at school?
Well, I'm putting up the dough for it.
Junior.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean anything.
Anyway, it's not your money, Junior. How can you say such a thing?
Not a girl, Babsy.
Half of it's mine.
Fine kids I got. They lend me a little money to help me get brilliant, and then they throw it up to me.
Oh, now, dear.
What do you think I'm going to that school anyway? You think it's a pleasure for me to spend every night thinking? Believe me, it's torture.
I know, dear, I know. You're doing it for our sake.
Oh, I'm sorry, Daddy.
So am I, Pop.
Oh, that's okay, kids. Forget it. And don't worry. Wait till next Saturday when I graduate as a Bachelor of Science. You kids will be proud that you've got a bachelor for a father. Hello, Riley speaking.
Riley, this is Dean Baxter. I'm sorry I had to call you where you were.
Oh, that's okay, Dean.
Congratulations, my boy. You've passed the final examinations.
I did? Oh, that's wonderful.
And by the way, we've set the graduation date slightly ahead.
Oh, it's not next Saturday?
No.
Well, when is it?
Right now. Something urgent has come up that requires my presence out of town. So if you want your diploma...
You bet I want it. I'll be right over.
Fine. And don't forget to bring the $50 graduation fee.
Gee, Mr. Stevenson, it's well of you to come with me to my graduation.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Riley.
I tried to phone my family, but no one's home. And when I get my diploma, I'd like to have someone there to be proud of me.
Riley, one thing puzzles me.
Yeah?
How can UCLA give you a diploma after only 3 months?
Oh, well, I didn't go to UCLA like you told me, boss. I did the smart thing. I went to PIT, Pacific Institute of Technology.
Oh. But, Riley, my course took me 2 years.
Well, you see, at PIT, they get the most they possibly can out of every student.
You sure this school is all right?
Seeing's believing, ain't it? You just wait until you meet the dean, Dr. Baxter. He's a great man. Taught Professor Einstein everything he knows.
He was?
Here's the school now. There, see? Right in back of that garbage can.
Well, there's quite a crowd here.
Yeah, that's for the commencement. Gee, I wish my family was here.
That's a police car, right?
Yeah. What are they doing? Oh, I know. The dean said he had to leave town in a hurry, and I bet the cops are going to escort him. Now, he's a brilliant guy, the dean. Where'll you meet him?
All right, come on, wise guy. Better come quietly.
Take your hands off me, copper. Stop shoving.
Who's that?
The dean. Dr. Baxter, wait, it's me. What about my diploma?
Oh, Riley, have you got the graduation fee?
Yeah, here it is, $50.
Okay, here's your diploma.
Thanks.
All right, get in the wagon, Baxter. Take it easy, copper. I was just collecting my bail.
Officer, what's going on here?
Well, this crook's been running a phony school. You'd be surprised the number of chumps fell for it. Let's go, Joe.
I bet I know who's the champ chump.
Riley, I'm awfully sorry about
this.
Thanks,
boss.
I've got my car here. Is there anything I can do for you?
Yeah, run me over. Oh, what a mess. How can I go home after this? I wish there was a magician could make me disappear off the face of the earth.
Did you say magician or mortician?
Who's that?
It is I, Digby O'Dell, the friendly undertaker.
Oh, it's you, Digger.
Greetings, Riley. You're looking fine. Very natural.
Well, I don't feel fine. For 3 months, I've been slaving away, digging and digging. And all of a sudden, everything caved in.
I wouldn't want that to happen to me.
Why do some people have to be dishonest?
Dishonesty. A pernicious practice. Of course, in my business, we are protected by the UEPUIC.
UEPUIC?
The Undertakers, Embalmers, and Pallbearers Underground Investigating Committee. We check up on members of the profession to see if they have any skeletons in the closet.
You know, Digger, I was supposed to graduate from college today.
I remember when I graduated from MIT, the Morticians Institute in Tombstone. I wrote a poem with which I inspired my fellow graduates. Tomorrow we go into business with success as our only goal. May each of us have the good fortune to always wind up in a hole.
So I didn't even graduate. The dean turned out to be a big crook. Now I'm afraid to show my family my face.
I don't blame you. Take my advice. Go home. Tell your beloved brood the truth.
They'll die.
I'll go with you.
No, I'll go alone. I'll tell them.
Stout fellow. Well, cheerio. I'd better be shoveling off.
Riley!
Hello, Peg.
Why, what are you doing home this time of the day? Oh, you're not sick?
Well, you see, I went down to the school this afternoon.
Hey, Pop, what's that in your pocket?
Junior, wait, don't
touch. It's a diploma. Hey, look, Mom, a diploma from PIT.
Riley, you graduated.
Congratulations, Pop.
Oh, Daddy, give me a kiss. When did it happen?
This afternoon. They put it ahead of time, so...
Oh, you. Why didn't you tell us so we could be there?
Well, I did phone, but... Look, Peg, when I got there...
Oh, don't apologize, dear. The main thing is you graduated. Oh, it's just as well I didn't go. If I'd been there, I'd probably have cried.
Well, don't worry. I cried for you.
Oh, you sweet darling. I'm so proud of you. It isn't every wife who has a husband like you.
And ain't they glad?
Oh, boy, what a swell diploma. Chester A. Riley, baccalaureate scientist. Oh, come on, Bob. Let's hang it up.
No, you mustn't, Junior.
Why, I want it up there on the wall where everybody can see it.
But, Peg...
Riley, this is a happy occasion. Let's see a smile on your face. Well, come on now, smile.
I'm smiling.
Now go on into the kitchen and get the hammer and some nails.
But, Peg,
now, don't be such a modest hero. Go on now.
Okay.
What's the matter with Daddy? He looks sick.
Oh, it's just the excitement.
Oh, I'll see who it is. Oh, hello, Mr. O'Dell.
Greetings, folks. I'm glad to see you've taken the news so bravely. Smile, everybody. Let's be gay.
Why, what news?
Why, about that crooked school and the fake diploma. Fortunately, they arrested the dean. Oh. Riley didn't tell you.
Why, no. We thought...
Oh, dear. There I go again. Digging somebody's grave for him. Farewell.
Gosh. Pop didn't really graduate.
Oh, poor Daddy.
Oh, my. No wonder he acted so strange.
Well, I got the hammer. But, Peg, do you really think we ought to go... Well, what's the matter? What's everybody looking so glum about? This is a
Happy occasion, ain't it? Well, why don't you smile? Like I'm smiling. Why are you sitting there staring at me like... who told you?
Mr. Odell was just here.
Oh.
I guess there's no use hanging up this diploma now.
No. Let's hang me up instead. Oh, Peg, how could I have been so dumb? No wonder you hate me.
Oh, but we don't hate you.
How can you say that, Daddy?
Gee, what's the matter with you?
You mean, in spite of what I did, wasting our money, making a fool of myself, you still love me?
Of course we love you.
What a revolting development this is. One thing, Peg, even if the dean was a crook, I did graduate from college. That's more than a lot of guys can say, right?
Oh, yes, and I'm very proud of you.
Oh, well, goodbye, Dumplin'. I'm late for work.
Oh, don't forget your lunchbox.
But, Peg, you said I should buy lunch. You didn't have any wax paper to wrap my sandwiches.
I don't need wax paper. I used your diploma.
$89 for lunch.
Procter & Gamble invite you to join us again next week to hear The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley.
The Life of Riley on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC broadcast from September 6th, 1947. Wrapping up an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeBonier. Thanks for listening.